In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So which is worse? Not being able to hear, or constantly having ears that hear and listen to the juicy gossip about your neighbor? Or which is worse, not being able to speak, or speaking wickedly and scornfully against your God and your neighbor? Which is worse, not being able to see, or using your eyes to feed the lust of one's heart and mind? Which is worse, not being able to walk, or using healthy legs to go where you should not be? Which is worse, being diseased of body or being diseased of soul? Many in our world today and in our culture today would answer these questions far differently than God. You see, the sin that is within, the sin of our soul that we cannot see, the original sin, is for most not nearly, if at all, important as the sin that is without. That is, the ravages of sin that we can see, that we see other people do. Thus, many would rather perhaps even end their lives than live a life with an outward quality of somewhat less than they had desired. Or many want to create and then kill babies for their stem cells in order to perhaps cure paralysis or any of the other number of diseases and maladies that we are subjected to this fallen life. Or many want science these days to do whatever it can, to do things, incredible things, simply because it can do those things, not ever asking the question of whether or not should we do those things. But again, which is worse? We hear this morning of Jesus healing a deaf mute. This man, he could not hear, he could not speak. This is not, as we have come to learn of Jesus and we read of the Gospels, an unusual circumstance. It's quite usual, actually, because, as you know, Jesus Christ healed many of diseases. And he gave many blind people their sight, and he gave many lame people the ability to walk. He healed lots of people of fevers and colonies of lepers. He drove out demons, and he even raised dead people. And the scriptures, they only recount to us only a few of the occurrences of all the total number of these miracles. Clearly, we see that Jesus is both willing and able to restore and heal these people to life and health. And so it is that many today expect the exact same thing. As Christians, we regularly pray that God would heal and restore the people who are suffering in our midst or around us. And certainly God can and does heal people still today. He still performs miracles, even probably more frequently than we would know or want to even acknowledge. But then there are the others, the ones that perhaps we still think about. That is, the ones whom he does not heal. The blind that are still blind, the deaf that are still deaf, the paralyzed that are still paralyzed, the sick that are still suffering. They're all still among us today. Certainly the Almighty God is able to heal people in the time of Jesus just as much as he is able to heal people today, right? So we wonder, naturally, why doesn't he? It all seems terribly unfair, doesn't it? Some are healed and some are not. Some have plenty and live very luxurious lives, and other people live in poverty and live beggarly lives. Some live to, as we say, a good ripe old age, and others are lives are snuffed out early or even don't even make it out of their mother's womb. And because all of this, God can seem quite mean and capricious and arbitrary as to what he exactly is doing. Why some, not others? Why this one and not that one? Who among us hasn't asked such questions or kinds of questions? But you see, those are questions. They are rooted in the fact that we can only see what is happening without. And we cannot see what is happening within. But the Almighty God in flesh in Jesus can see what is within us just as he can clearly see what is outside of us. And he asks a very important question in the very next chapter of Mark's Gospel. You know it well, but what does it profit a man if he were to gain the entire world and yet forfeit, give up his soul? Or to paraphrase this a little bit, context, what does it profit a man to avoid suffering in this life only to receive it in the next? Or what does it profit you if you gain your health in this life, but yet you lose your faith? There is a greater miracle that God desires for you than merely the restoration of your earthly life, of your hearing and of your eyesight and all the other things that are wrong with your body. And it is this miracle. It is the miracle of the forgiveness of sins. That is the cleansing and the healing and the restoration of your complete body and soul. But our problem often is that we don't consider the phrase the forgiveness of sins as a miracle, really. But is not the forgiveness of sins far more than just simply words that are spoken? For if a miracle is defined by a supernatural working of God in this world, counteracting the laws of nature, is not the forgiveness of sins that very thing? A counteracting of the fact that we are sinful, unclean by nature? And therefore, because of this miracle of the forgiveness of sins, we are no longer according to the old nature, but according to the new nature in Christ Jesus, that we are no longer unclean, but clean because of the forgiveness of sins. Because when you hear and you read over and over again in the Gospels about Jesus healing and restoring all of these people, these sick and debilitated and diseased people, it should be with the following thought in mind, that these miracles are not an end in and of themselves, but they are serving a greater purpose. I know we don't like to hear it, but Jesus was not sent among us donning a white lab coat and a stethoscope around his neck to cure all of our earthly diseases that emanate from this sinful and broken life. Rather, he used those miracles to point to a much greater miracle that he comes to accomplish in a much deeper work. A work that bears, even though hidden, the true glory of God. And that is the forgiveness of sins accomplished on that cruel tree. You see, the ordering in the Apostles' Creed, as you confess it today, is very important. You believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Because without the forgiveness of sins, you do not have the resurrection of the body, and without the resurrection of the body, you do not have the life everlasting. It all begins with the forgiveness of sins. And that is why the Holy Spirit calls you by the gospel and brings to you faith, which then trusts Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That you receive this most wonderful gift, this miracle of God's forgiveness. For in this forgiveness, your ears are open to hear His word. Your tongues are unloosed to sing His praises. Your eyes begin to see all but dimly still His work in the world. Your legs are strengthened, to fear and despair. Your callous hearts are now cut off and now made clean and healed with a new heart. Your minds are unveiled to understand to some extent His word and the wisdom that this word of God has for you. Is not all that a miracle? The working of God in us to rescue us from sin and the trappings of this world? See, as Christians, we need to learn over and over again, every day, that there are far more important things than this world and the ears that can simply hear things. Far more important are the ears that are attuned to the Holy Word of God and hear it and digest it and chew on it and then digest it again. There are more important things than simply tongues that speak and that go on and on. We call them talking heads. Far more important are mouths that receive the holy body and blood of Jesus and tongues that confess Christ's holy name. There are more important things than legs that simply take us to work and back. Far more important are those legs that either stand or kneel at the altar and bow in repentance and faith and receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. They're far more important than eyes that simply see all these wonderful things in creation, but more so the eyes that see by faith that through these sacraments, the holy baptism of God and the holy supper of God, that God is making out of sinners His very children that will inherit the kingdom of God that will not end ever. And by those things He has driven away the devil, our sinful flesh, and this passing away world. You see, all of that is the work of God that you have received, even though for a while you may suffer. Even though for a while you may struggle in this life under hardships and persecutions, both physical and spiritual and even emotional. But do understand that suffering and struggling in this life does not mean that God somehow has shortchanged you. But there was a much greater Ephatha, this Aramaic word that Jesus spoke to this deaf mute, that your Savior Jesus Christ spoke at a much more opportune time. And that was when He was hanging on the cross. And He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In other words, the miracle of the forgiveness of sins, that God was taking your sin upon Himself and giving you His righteousness. And also that He said it was finished, that your sins were finished, that death was finished, that hell was finished. Because notice, when Jesus said this word, Ephatha, where was He looking? He was looking to the heavens, to perhaps foreshadow the fact that this Ephatha was not just simply the opening of this man's ears and the loosing of his tongue, but it was the opening of the very gates of heaven. For as you remember, those gates were once closed because of our sin and shame and now guarded by angels with flaming swords. Well, now by a greater Ephatha, that gate is now open to us sinners. As we sing in that great Te Deum, when he had overcome the sharpness of death, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. That, my friends, is the miracle of the forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is a resurrection of the body, and there is the life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen.